the CDC issued an alert to doctors about a rare inflammatory disease impacting children and its connection to COVID-19. The condition is called multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children, or MISC. Symptoms include fever and a rash, as well as stomach issues, sluggishness, and eye irritation. There are cases of the rare illness across the U.S. and abroad, with New York State having the highest number. So far, none confirmed here in Wisconsin. The illness has been likened to another rare childhood inflammatory condition known as Kawasaki disease. Doctors saying, though, that there are symptoms that make it different. Dr. Dipesh Nafzaria is an associate professor of pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and president of the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Nafzaria, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, this is emerging just over the last week or two. What's the latest that we know about this unusual condition?
Well, this condition has kind of appeared, as you say, in the last couple of weeks in terms of being recognized as something that's happening to children. It's a inflammatory illness, meaning that there's elements of inflammation in different organ systems, different parts of the body. And in most, although not quite all cases, it seems to be associated with COVID infection in children. The initial reports have sounded very much like another condition that you mentioned called Kawasaki disease that we've known about for decades. Kawasaki disease, unfortunately, despite the fact that it's well known to us, we have yet to figure out what's causing it. There's no specific organism that's ever been identified. So when these reports came out, we wondered, is this a variant in Kawasaki disease? Is it something that's related to Kawasaki in some form? We do know that this does seem to be somewhat more severe in the children who do get it. But again, I want to emphasize, it's a very, very tiny number of children who are getting it. So it's significant, but it's not necessarily as much of a concern as it is than, say, COVID-19 is in general for vulnerable adults.
Right. And that's an important point, that this isn't something that people should worry too much about. What are we looking at next when it comes to what this condition is and how it relates to COVID-19?
Yeah, so what we do know is that some children are developing these symptoms, and the key thing that makes it more severe is that they're often having something we call shock, which is basically where the entire body's system is responding with drops in blood pressure, these kind of cascades of immunological reactions that just cause their heart and lungs and kidneys and so on to be affected, and they do need hospitalization and care. And that seems to be affecting them more than anything. So far, it seems that they are recovering in the cases that have occurred. So it's not exactly, and the same is true of Kawasaki disease, that most of the time children do improve with the treatments that are available. But again, we don't know precisely what the cause is, and not every child that has this new MISC entity has been found to have had COVID, and we're not sure if that's because COVID is not 100% the cause, or is it that the testing is not necessarily showing us COVID is present when it really is.
Now, one big question in our public health response to COVID-19 has been, when can kids go back to school? And one hope was that since this is something that seems to affect older people, adults more than kids, it'd be safer to send them back to school sooner. Does this concern change the equation there much at all?
I'm not sure that it does, because even before this concern, the purpose behind keeping children out of early childhood settings, out of school, et cetera, is that even if they're not as dramatically affected as adults, children can have a higher likelihood of potentially transmitting infection throughout the community. Younger children in particular are not necessarily as good about, washing their hands or, being careful how they sneeze or cough or things like that. So it was meant to kind of really reduce the amount of spread throughout the community to some extent. Given that we're looking at last numbers I saw, and these are varying every day, in the United States of this MISC, we're only seeing somewhere over 200 cases total, which is really not a very large number. Now, it's awful for the families and the kids who are getting it. I don't want to downplay that. But to put this into perspective, every year in the United States, we see somewhere between 100 and 200 pediatric deaths due to influenza, right? This influenza virus, which we do have a vaccine for, and so on. And over 4,000 children die every year from motor vehicle conditions, right? Just to kind of try to put the numbers on that. So would I say that something that we aren't 100% sure of what the cause is in something that in a pandemic that's so widespread, should this change school reopening decisions? I don't know that I would go there yet unless we have better data on which to base that.
I want to take our last couple of minutes to talk to you about something I know you are very concerned with, education for early childhood, and now kids aren't able to go to the daycare centers or elementary schools at this time. Do you have some thoughts for parents out there to help their kids learn, or teachers trying to help those kids remotely?
So, yes, I think this is a great challenge for so many families to try to figure out how to work through all this. What I'm going to say is that, first of all, whatever you're doing with your children right now, you know, we're all trying to do the best we can. And I say this as a parent of two teenagers who are also cooped up at home. We're all trying the best we can. Not everything has to be about assignments and factual learning and so on. And I think taking the opportunities to do what you can with the outdoors, to look at things together online, to even talk about the news, not in a obsessing about every new little thing about COVID that's going on, but what is out there, are great ways to teach your children to be curious about the world and how to ask good questions. A lot of the things, even about COVID, are great opportunities to say, how do you question what's out there? And how do you ask good questions about what's being presented and what the motives are and what kind of care people put into the reporting of those things? So I think those are all opportunities that parents can take to really help teach their children without necessarily worrying so much about formal education, because I think this is a challenge for everyone.
And briefly, I imagine it's a good time to read to kids just for fun, too.
I think it's an excellent time to be reading together, and whether it's to kids, to each other, I think even adults should probably spend some time reading aloud to each other. It can be wonderful to hear each other's voices in a different cadence and style than we might typically use.
Well, it's good to hear your voice remotely, Dr. Navsaria. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
That's Dr. Dipesh Navsaria, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and President of the Wisconsin Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. He joins us today to talk about a very rare inflammatory disease, possibly tied to COVID-19. It's been reported in a small number of children across the globe. He joined us to help put that disease and the numbers in perspective. Also joined us with some advice on how to help kids learn during Safer at Home or post Safer at Home as schools are closed. If you have a favorite thing you've been reading to your kids, let us know. Email ideas@wpr.org.